Read from the Shema Bavli, Canto chapter 1, verse 12. Nahyasya anto madhyam cha Svaparonanta rambahi Vishvasya muni yad yasma Vishvancha takvatam maha.
Na, neither, yasya, avum, adi, beginning, antau, end, madhyam, middle, cha, also, sva, own, para, others, na, nor, antaram, inside, bahi, outside, vishvasya, of the whole cosmic manifestation. Amuni, all such considerations, yat, whose form, yasmat, from he who is the cause of everything, vishvam, whole universe, cha, and tat, all of them, ratam, truth, mahat, very great. Translation, the Supreme Personality of God, it has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The duality is found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. For the Lord's existence there is no cause, for he is the cause of everything. He is in everything. He is expanded in everything, but he is not everything. He is achincha bheda bheda, simultaneously one and different. This is explained in this verse. In the material condition, we have a conception of beginning, middle, and end. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no such things. The universal cosmic manifestation is also the virat rupa that was shown to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, since the Lord is present everywhere and all the time, he is the absolute truth and the greatest. He is complete in greatness. God is great, and how he is great is explained here. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no middle, and no end. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The duality is found within this material world, such as beginning and mind theirs, are absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. So here is a further description of the Supreme Lord, praising him for his position, his supreme position. So the first statement here is, he does not have adi anta madhyam. No beginning, no end, no middle. What does this mean? No beginning, of course, because he's eternal. No end, also, because he's eternal. What about no middle? How can he have no middle if he's eternal? So, in one sense, middle is because we have a beginning and an end. Yeah? And we have a middle. If there's no beginning and end, how can you have a middle? It's all beginning and middle doesn't make any sense anymore. So in that sense, there's no beginning, middle, end because he is eternal. This, of course, is not only the quality of the Supreme Lord, because the Jiva also has no beginning, no middle, and no end. He's also eternal. He's a conscious being, but different, but no beginning, no middle, no end. And even property, which isn't conscious, has no beginning, no middle, end. It is eternal. This is not the only aspect of the Supreme Lord. It's one quality of the Lord, but it's not his defining factor. It's necessarily there in the Lord. He's eternal, but it's not the only quality because other things are eternal also. No beginning, no middle, no end. We have here several pairs of words, sva and para. Sva meaning oneself, para meaning another. Antara meaning inside, bahi meaning outside. Words inside and outside obviously make sense. He has no inside, no outside. Or he's not inside nor outside. So it makes sense in one sense, we can understand what it means, but it's also contradictory. Because if he's inside, then he cannot be outside. If he's outside, he cannot be inside. And if he's neither inside nor outside, where is he? Where does he exist? He is not inside nor outside. So where is he? And inside and outside what? So one common thing is he's not inside the material world, nor is he outside the material world. This is, of course, illustrated in many places in the Bhagavatam. Not inside, not outside. So normally we think of, yes, the Lord is inside because he is Antaryami. He is the Paramatma in all beings. He permeates the universe as Garudakshaya Vishnu and Mahavishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So in that sense, he is inside. Yeah? Yet here we're saying he's not inside. Why? Because simultaneously he's in the spiritual world, completely separate from matter. But then we say he's outside. But yes, but here it says not outside. So how can it be not outside if he is in the spiritual world, not in the material world? Because he also pervades the material world as Antaryami. So he's both inside and outside. And simultaneously, not inside, not outside. So this is the rather contradictory nature of the Lord. It is only contradictory because the Lord's spiritual form is beyond our conception. And he can expand his form unlimitedly. Inside, outside, wherever. Universe, inside or outside. We cannot do that. Material objects cannot do that. But the Supreme Lord can do that. Somehow, he can be in several places at once. Normally, an object is defined by a particular location and a particular time. Over time, it may change. But at a particular time, it's only in one place. It cannot be somewhere else. Not so for the Supreme Lord. He can be many places at once and still be one. It's impossible for us to conceive. So this is an aspect of the Achintya Shakti of the Lord, inconceivable power. So we have the words sva and para. Which means, of course, self and others. So, others obviously is very easy to understand. He does not belong to others because he is independent. What about Spa? Is he here for himself? people normally would think yes. But we know that the Supreme Lord acts always for the benefit of all the living entities. So he is not for himself, he is for everybody. He acts for everyone's benefit. He has no self-interest or other at all. So, in that sense, he is para. He is interested in others, not in himself. But at the same time, why is he called Sva then? For himself? Because he is completely independent by definition. That is the definition of God. He does not depend on living entities. He does not depend on material nature. He does not depend on another cause. In that sense, he is independent. So in one sense, he is independent, yet he is dependent on his devotees, we can say. But at the same time, we can say it in the negative way. He is not independent. And he is not dependent either. So he's not independent because he is controlled by his devotees. He is not dependent because by nature he is supreme and completely in another category, Ishvara, as compared to the Jiva. So, again, we have rather contrary qualities in the Supreme Lord. The Lord is the Supreme Controller. At the same time, he is controlled by devotees. How is it possible we have this contradiction? Again, Achintya Shakti of the Supreme Lord. He is the universe, and the universe comes from him. How is the Lord the universe? So we have, of course, universal form that Krishna shows to Arjuna. Everything is part of his body. That Satyaloka is the head, Pataloka is his feet, etc. All the devatas are in his body, or all the demons are in his body, etc. He is that. So he can manifest that form, which is not a spiritual form actually, it's a temporary form. In that sense, he is everything. Another way, of course, he's everything is that. The universe is a manifestation from Shakti. That is the Achit Shakti. Now, what is the Achit Shakti? By itself, it is nothing. It is part of the Supreme Lord. The Shakti depends on the Supreme Lord, who is called the Shaktiman, possessor of the Shakti. So, what is the position of the Shakti? The Shakti is considered non-different from the possessor of the Shakti, Supreme Lord. The relationship is very close, so we don't separate them. Something like, we cannot separate the quality from the object. We start taking away the qualities of the object, is no longer that object. So in the same way, Shakti is inherent in the Supreme Lord. Therefore, is one with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, though the Shakti produces the material world, and is quite different from the Supreme Lord, it is also one with the Lord, because the Shakti is not different from the Lord. So in that sense, he is the universe. He is everything. This is related, of course, to the idea of material cause. The material cause is upadan, technically called upadan, which is like clay. Clay is the upadan, and it produces the pot. So the Brahma Sutras say the Supreme Lord is also the upadan. He is the material cause of the universe. This is a little contradictory because the matter is material, unconscious, Supreme Lord is spiritual, conscious. How can he be? So some people don't want to accept that statement. Madhvacharya doesn't accept it, for instance. We accept it because of this idea of Shakti. Because the Shakti is non-different from, we can accept it that, yes, he is material cause because he's non-different from Achit Shakti, cause of the material world. So he is, in that sense, non-different. Okay, so the Lord is the universe. And he is also the cause of the universe. From him, Yasmad, from him the universe comes. So, he is the universe. He also is the cause of the universe. Normally that doesn't happen. We have a cause and effect. The effect is not the cause. The cause is not the effect. So if we say the Lord is the universe, we cannot say he is also the cause of the universe. But here we can say it because of his inconceivable Shakti. He causes the universe. He is also is the universe. Of course, cause of the universe. Yes, Supreme Lord is the cause of everything. Everybody will accept that. The Lord is the universe. That's difficult for people to accept because then he looks like he's material or whatever. Nevertheless, because he does have these Shaktis and the Shaktis are non-different from him, then we can say, yes, he is everything. He is the universe also. Okay. Therefore, because of this, position of the Lord is different from everything else. Jiva, yes, he has no beginning, no middle, end because he's eternal also, but he is never independent. He is always controlled by the Supreme Lord. He is always dependent. So that second phrase about para does not apply to the jiva. Inside and outside, the jiva is limited in the material world. And if he's in one place, he cannot be in another place. So the idea of inside and outside or not inside, not outside does not apply to the jiva. So normally what happens, the jivas are inside a particular body within a particular universe, and they can't change that. They're just there, that's all. They cannot say, I'm outside the universe, I'm outside my body. No, I'm stuck in the body, I'm stuck in the universe. So no idea of antaram, bahi, etc. Jiva, he obviously cannot create the universe. That's one of the distinguishing factors of Ishvara from Jiva. The Lord creates universes. Jiva cannot do so. Obviously, the Jiva is not the universe. He's not even part of the universe. He is very distinct from matter. He arises from Shakti. Matter arises from Shakti. We have the Adashta Shakti giving rise to the Jiva. We have Achit Shakti giving rise to matter. And they're different, not the same. So, a jiva, therefore, is not in the same position as the Supreme Lord. What about matter? Same for matter. It is eternal, yes, but it is completely dependent. Little jiva has little independence. He can make choice by the Supreme Lord. Prakriti can do nothing. No choices. It's unconscious. Simply used by the Supreme Lord and the jiva. Not independent at all. Inside, outside? No. It is also limited like the jiva. It is in particular places at particular times. It cannot expand itself. It doesn't have any abilities to do so. It cannot create on its own. It requires the glance of Mahavishnu for matter to begin to create the universe. So it's not the cause of anything. It's the material cause in the sense that matter is there in Prakriti and it expands, that's all. Non-different. Yes, it is non-different. The universe is the universe, Prakriti. That is non-different. But it can only manifest as universe from Prakriti by the will of the Supreme Lord. So it's not independent and manifesting a material universe. The material cause, Prakriti, is not independent in manifesting the material world, dependent on the Supreme Lord. So, in this way, Prakriti and Jiva are both different from Supreme Lord. And therefore it says here that he is Mahat, Ritam. Ritam means truth. So he is, truth means he's the highest principle upon which everything else depends. And therefore he is Mahat, he is the great one, the greatest. So in this way we have a very simple definition of the Supreme Lord. Of course this is also not complete, therefore we have other verses also giving various aspects of the Supreme Lord. But this gives a certain definition which excludes jivas and prakriti. So it gives some distinguishing factors of the Supreme Lord. A lot of this explanation here, of course, is can be applied to the Lord's relationship with the universe. So inside, outside the universe, etc., dependent or independent of the universe. He causes the universe, he is the universe. So in one sense, all related to material world. So that is because, generally, because we're coming out of the material world, we think of things in terms of material world. We think of God, then at first, oh, if God is great, he must create the world. Of course, that's secondary. It's not really significant for the Lord that he creates the world at all. But because we're here, then we think, oh, material world, he must have created it. But there's another aspect of the Supreme Lord beyond the material world. Not just in relation to this. But again, the same factors in the spiritual world apply. He is independent, not dependent on anyone. He can be inside and outside, not outside, etc. He is eternal. He is the Chit-Shakti also, non-different from the spiritual world. At the same time, it's also, he comes from him. It is dependent on him. So though this isn't expressed in terms of the material world, it also applies to the Lord's position in the spiritual world as well, without having to relate to the material world. So the Lord's position in any case is supreme. In the spiritual world, there is no material universe to talk about. But we have its counterpart, spiritual world, from the Chit-Shakti. So we have the Dhamma of the Lord in the spiritual world. But that is quite different from the material Dhamma, which is from the Achit-Shakti, which is unconscious. The Chit-Shakti is intimately related with the Supreme Lord. The Achit-Shakti is Bahiranga, external to the Lord, not much interest. So the Lord is intimately involved with the Chit-Shakti of himself. Not, and in that sense, it's even more non-different than Tatastha-Shakti or Achit-Shakti. The Chit-Shakti is very close to the Supreme Lord, so the non-difference is very, very apparent there. Nevertheless, the Lord still maintains his sarup, his particular identity in the spiritual world. And therefore we talk about the sarup of the Lord, and then from him arise the sarup shakti. The shaktis arise from the sarup. So still, that essence, the Supreme Lord, is there to distinguish him from his shaktis. So he still is independent in that way, even though the chit shakti supports his form, name, qualities, activities, etc. Still, his sarup is his essence. So he remains like that. And the Shakti is dependent on him in the spiritual world. So we have Svapara there again. In any case, we have the supreme position of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, in the material world, in relation to the Jiva. So therefore, he is called the Supreme Truth, the Supreme Entity. Always existing, but dependent on the Lord in all cases.